The views expressed on the following program are the views of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station, their management, their donors, their underwriters, nor their seventh-born sons. Broadcasting from our secret underground studio in Olympia, Washington, it is time for the Thunderbolts. Yes, kids, there you were, enjoying your privileged white status, blissfully ignorant of the fact that your shoes were manufactured by a child slave, until one day you turned on your radio and you were struck by the Thunderbolt! Hello, Cascadia! It's time to wake up! Yes, you better grab that cup of coffee, because you are about to be struck by the thunderbolt of truth and justice. Here it comes. Yes, kids, the thunderbolt is your guide to activism in Thurston County. I have news. I have commentary, I have a calendar for activist-related events, kick-ass music, and dumb jokes! So Cascadia is off of the couch and into the streets! It's time to save civilization from fiery apocalypse! Though even the apocalypse is gonna have to wait until I have had a cup of coffee! Right. Hello and welcome to the Thunderbolt for October 28th, 2022. I'm going to replay a show that originally aired all the way back on January 31st, 2014. And again, I note with alarm that all of these pieces are mostly still relevant 8 years later, which frankly sucks. Anyway, since there seems to be a lot of sports fans over at Rainier Avenue Radio, and since this first Thunderbolt this week seriously trashes professional sports, I wanted to make clear before we started that I have no problem whatsoever with sports themselves. As I mentioned in the piece, team sports can teach everyone, but especially youth, a lot of valuable lessons about teamwork, sportsmanship, and other positive social habits. My problem is with the vast overimportance that professional sports plays in our society, often to the detriment of more worthy patrons of such lavish amounts of attention and money. And I would also like to take this opportunity to let listeners know that the bus project is completed, I have moved in, and I am slowly making my way to Ashland, Oregon, where I plan to reside. Once I am settled in, I fully plan to start publishing newsletters and to start producing new radio shows. So just hold on for another month or so, and I'll be back full bore. That is a promise, not a threat. Anyway, this first Thunderbolt is called Pointless Points. Please enjoy this week's show. So now I wish to make a point about pointless points.
Not the mother than the red hot, yes, yeah, she got myself. Not the mother than the red hot, yes, yeah, she got them for sale. I got a good set, she long and tall, she sleeps in the kitchen with her feet in the hall. Not the mother than the red hot, yes, yeah, she got them for sale, I mean. Yes, yeah, she got them for sale, yeah.
Not the so, mother than as the a red child and a young adult, I loved playing baseball. I was an accomplished first baseman. Sports can teach you some good things about cooperation and teamwork, and it is just a plain fun thing to do. Professional sports, though, All right, Bankster of a Different Color. If you hadn't noticed, you know, who knows, maybe you just got back from Mars or something. Evidently, Seattle's football team is going to the Super Bowl. Now, I usually try not to notice things like that, but I'm usually not allowed to not notice them. So NPR, edgy revolutionaries that they are, once again pushed the envelope during one of their programs and outrageously asked whether paying so much attention to a game might be frivolous. One respondent answered this question by pointing out how good sports teams are at bringing people together. Yeah, they do indeed. Like nothing else that I know of, in fact. So since bringing people together is what I spend a bunch of hours every week trying to do, then you would think that I would be in favor of this, but actually, it makes me want to tear out my hair, because what they do is to bring tens of millions of people together in a massive, orgiastic explosion of nationwide passion and desire, all in order to achieve absolutely nothing meaningful in any way. Some steroided Neanderthals representing our town beat some steroided Neanderthals representing some other town in some game. Wow. Earth-shattering. So while there are points in the game itself, their point being to make points, my point is that their points are pointless. Their game is pointless. Their world is pointless. A few rich assholes get a lot richer, but that is pointless too. And that happens pretty much no matter what you do these days anyway, so whatever. So what do you think would happen if people took all of the time and all of the energy and all of the money that they spend on some pointless game and instead spent all of that passion and energy on something that actually matters? Here's the question. How can we make saving our planet as exciting as a frigging football game? Hang on to your word processors, kids. For I now have what, as far as I know, is a Thunderbolt exclusive that exposes a shocking secret which is possibly buried deep in the bowels of your very own personal computer.
This is a man! Well, this is a man! Well, but it wouldn't be nothing, nothing without a woman or a girl.
You know, a writer develops a relationship with his, her, or its word processor.
This is a man's word.
I type the Thunderbolt on Microsoft Word.
This is a man's word.
I have typed several novels on Microsoft Word.
But it wouldn't be nothing, nothing without a woman or a girl.
Now, since I often make up words, and since I often intentionally use grammatical errors for various artistic effects, then Microsoft Word constantly scolds me for perceived violations of some largely arbitrary rule or another. Alas. I'm even misunderstood by my own computer program. You would think that after all these years, Microsoft Word would get tired of its never-ceasing bitching and harping about every little thing, but Microsoft Word carries on undaunted and unbowed through all the vicissitudes of my problematic linguistic gymnastics.
This is a man! Not a woman or a girl.
Microsoft Word did just teach me how to spell vicissitudes, though, so it's not all bad. So I hope you're sitting down.
Man thinks about a little bit of baby girl.
As everyone with at least a third grade education knows,
baby boy.
It is common practice in English to capitalize he.
Man make them happy.
When referring to their god.
Because man make them toys.
Microsoft Word has no problem with that.
But after man make everything.
However, here is where I discovered the shocking secret.
Do you know that man makes money?
When I try to capitalize she, then Microsoft Word places one of those little green squiggles from hell under the word.
But it won't be nothing, nothing, without a woman or a girl.
Now, for those of you as yet unfamiliar with the 21st century, this green squiggle is the subtle yet demonic method that Microsoft Word uses to manipulate and control you by using mockery to instill a profound sense of innate guilt about the errors of your syntactic ways. It's a vile conspiracy, I tell you.
You got to have a woman now.
But I wonder again.
Man!
If you investigate Microsoft Word's allegation that you are in error by capitalizing she, then Microsoft Word will tell you,
but a woman makes a better man.
That according to the rules of English, as interpreted by Microsoft Word,
so baby, don't worry.
You are allowed to capitalize he.
Don't worry.
But you are not allowed to capitalize she.
Don't worry about the peeling falling from the ceiling.
So in addition to being dense, overly bitchy, unimaginative, and unappreciative of my art, Microsoft Word is also a sexist. All of this from some soulless, sexless thing that exists nowhere except in some electronic circuitry in my computer and thus also in some NSA data bank. We need to call out the feminazis.
Baby, don't worry.
All right, that's the other side. However, my
don't
loyal listeners need never fear. Your brave reporter intends to stand proud and defiant in the mace of Microsoft Word's derision and attacks upon my linguistic character. I will stand like a rock in the face of that invitable torrent of disparaging little colored squiggles blanketing my computer screen.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I will ignore the persistent contumely of Microsoft Word as I bravely go where no hack writer has gone before.
The man!
Yes, kids, on my word, I now publicly swear to you, my theoretical listeners, in spite of Microsoft Word's ridicule and disdain, I fully intend to continue capitalizing she anytime that I damn well please. Do I hear yeah?
He's lying!
Yeah, Microsoft Word could just take its little green squiggles and stick them into one of those crannies inside a computer.
The man
where the sun don't shine.
The man that don't have a woman.
Do I hear yeah?
He'd lie! And bitterness. The man!
And Microsoft Word just scolded me again.
Man that don't have
evidently,
woman.
I should have just said to either stick it where the sun doesn't shine.
The man!
Or to stick it.
The man that don't have a woman.
Where the suns don't shine.
He's lying!
I knew that. I was just goading Microsoft Word again. My apologies if I upset anyone. And now, I have some rockin' scandals for ya, kids. Yes, scandal has rocked New Jersey.
I'm a gambler.
Yes, there's news this week from that East Coast utopia known as the Garden State.
But you knew that when you laid down.
They call it the Garden State, even though a large portion of this state is plastered with smokestacks and cement from horizon to horizon.
I'm a killer and I'm a clown. Step into the street by sundown. Step into your land.
Yes, the staff of New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, if not Christie himself, recently committed the unforgivable sin of preventing people from leaving New Jersey.
My shots are deadly, and when it's done, you're as stiff as my smoking barrel. You're as dead as a desert night. You're a notch and I'm a legend. You're at peace and I'm a hide.
Now, anyone who has ever been to New Jersey knows that leaving New Jersey can quickly become a top priority in life. And preventing people from leaving New Jersey could easily be classified as cruel and unusual punishment. Christie is disclaiming all knowledge of this terrible crime, and he is trying to throw his staff under the bus. But he is finding that to be difficult because the bus is still stuck in a traffic jam, and Christie might still be on it.
Tell me where the hell I'm going.
Scandal has rocked New York.
I'm a killer. I'm a clown.
In order to maintain the Thunderbolts' credibility, I must acknowledge when I'm mistaken. I constantly accuse the media of ignoring the real story and focusing on garbage, but they have really done it this time. You better sit down for this one, kids. Mayor Bill de Blasio was filmed eating pizza with a fork. This is all over the news on the East Coast. Many are now wondering how such a man could possibly represent New York. Outrageous building, and an investigation may be pending. And as for rockin' scandals, Samantha Bee rocks a scandal like I have never heard in my life. You should check out the Daily Show, the second segment of the Daily Show for January 14th, because Samantha Bee puts on one of the most incredible performances that I have ever seen in my entire life.
What did I do to deserve such a fate? I didn't really want to get involved in this thing. Someone handed me this gun and I gave it everything. Yeah, I gave it everything.
And then we have the scandal of the parasites on the government teat. According to the right, our problems are caused by welfare mothers, school teachers, and union workers.
I came into this life, looked all around. I saw just what I liked and took what I found. Nothing came easy. Nothing came free. Nothing came at all until they
And every time they say that, I have always been amazed at their ability to never crack even a hint of a smile. When they say these things, they somehow fail to mention the fact that over half of the recipients of food stamps are low-income children. They also fail to mention the fact that in 2008, AIG alone took more tax dollars for nothing than every welfare mother in the country combined. And evidently, the genius of our government has come to the fore again, as the current bipartisan plan is to seriously slash funding for all government programs that go to poor people, but keep that golden government gusher flowing unabated into the coffers of the 1%. So I guess all those low-income children will just have to pull themselves up by their tiny little bootstraps. And I'm sorry, but we can't even afford to put any cute little designs on them. Evidently, welfare dollars that go to rich people are good and should continue forever, while welfare dollars that benefit poor people are bad and need to be ended immediately. Evidently, Wall Street has a few bad actors that should be dealt with individually by paying them millions of dollars to go away, while a few people scamming welfare benefits means that millions must be thrown out onto the streets. Evidently, welfare is only good when the recipients don't need it. I don't think the term double standard even begins to cover this. And now we have some scandals from the past. The United States suffered just under 60,000 killed as a result of the Vietnam War. That does not count the many that later committed suicide because that ugly war fried their brains. Since the United States very famously does not count dead civilians, we have no idea how many Vietnamese died during the Vietnam War.
Betty's mommy wasn't there to save her.
That in itself says a lot.
She didn't even hear her baby call.
Dead babies can't take care of themselves. Dead babies.
The best estimates of Vietnamese deaths range between 1.5 and 3.8 million with an M. Now, 2 million seems to be the accepted number, but the accepted number often means absolutely nothing. However many there were, the vast majority of these Vietnamese deaths were civilians. This, in fact, has been the pattern over and over ever since World War II. Almost all of the major wars that have been fought for the last several decades have consisted of rich countries mass slaughtering the civilians of some impoverished third world nation.
Little Betty's sleeping in the graveyard, living there in Burgundy and white.
Dead babies can't take care of themselves.
Usually, but not always, the perpetrator has been the United States.
Dead babies can take things off the shelf.
As many, including myself, predicted. The final result of Bush's wars is that both Iraq and Afghanistan have descended into violent chaos. Both countries are now run by American puppets that everyone who actually lives there hates. Militant Muslims in Iraq have now seized control of Fallujah, Iraq's second largest city. Now, Fallujah is the city where, after the locals very publicly killed some hired Western mercenaries that had invaded their country and killed a bunch of their friends, and after the locals hung the body of one of said mercenaries from a bridge, George Bush cordoned off the city, kicked out all the reporters, and then committed one of the most horrendous war crimes of the last several decades by murdering thousands of innocent civilians with things like white phosphorus, depleted uranium, and hell-fired missiles. Now, you wouldn't know it these days, but killing civilians is still a very serious war crime. But evidently, that's now merely a technicality.
So long.
Now consider all of the death and tears and destruction and money and lives and heartbreak caused by Bush's two wars. And then consider that there was much more of all of those things that any human can possibly comprehend. Then consider that as a result of Bush's wars, both countries are exponentially worse off than they were in the first place. And consider that the United States has not achieved even one of either the bullshite stated goals or the actual unstated goals in either place. In the reality that I live in, this is so utterly, completely, unthinkably unacceptable that words fail. I suspect that this would also be equally as unacceptable to virtually every other human on this planet were the actual facts ever to be made known to them. So why is it being accepted? This is the conspiracy fact as opposed to the conspiracy theory.
Dead baby.
The narrative does not match the reality.
Dead babies can take things off the shelf.
Well, we didn't need you anyway.
It's time to get to work now, kids. Hold on to your seats, because the Thunderbolt will be back in just a minute.
This program is a production of Dancing Angel Media, which is solely responsible for the content. If this program makes your head explode or causes emotional distress, or if you suddenly feel as if life suddenly isn't worth living anymore due to the things you learn on this program, then you should blame yourself for the fact that you're such a wimp that you let the world push you around in such a manner, rather than blaming the producers of some radio show, much less blaming the radio station that is airing the show. And you should maybe soon become a Zen master and or a used car salesman and or an astronaut or whatever, rather than trying to educate yourself about things that are simply going to twist your worldview into a pretzel, making your continued existence on this plane problematic. If you have useful suggestions, or if you wish to participate in meaningful debate, then bring it on. But otherwise, if you aren't going to help, then please just shut up and get out of our way, so that we can do what needs to be done. Have a nice day.
Well, it is said that a journalist with a personal stake should not report on a story. I disagree.
Of course, keep on dreaming every night, too, about that old train that's going to take you home off the same gang.
While actual objectivity is a noble goal, more often than not these days, objectivity,
call it the chain gang special or any kind of train you want to call it,
is a false flag that is used to hide true agendas. I think that someone with a stated point of view is much more trustable than someone who is hiding their agenda behind a veil of objectivity. So full disclosure here, I'm about to report on a story in which I was directly involved.
Run that train, Sonny, run that train.
And upon which I have a point of view.
Get these old balls and chains, bilboes and shackles off my way.
So first, the context.
Take a spike again.
Now, our society used to take care of mentally ill people. But Ronald Reagan emptied the nation's mental hospitals out onto the streets back in the 80s, and they have been there ever since. Now, they can be found in the alleys and gutters and jails and rescue missions of every city in the country that is large enough to have alleys and gutters and jails and rescue missions.
Keep right on, Bushy, keep right on.
So I became directly involved in activism on the homelessness issue about 3 years ago when I was at a meeting of political activists, and I'm forgetting now what the meeting was even about, but our meeting was crashed by a local homeless gentleman known as Dude Man. So Dude Man then related a story of insane police harassment that he was suffering, and literally in tears, he stated he was at the end of his rope, had no idea what to do, and he begged us for our help. So that's not the kind of thing you can really say no to. So I somewhat reluctantly agreed to look into the matter, since I was technically homeless myself at the time. I was living in my truck, and I'll explain that in just a minute here. But upon conducting my investigation, I discovered that the Olympia Police representing the nearly omnipotent armed might of the state, were conducting a reign of terror not only upon Dude Man, but upon the most helpless and vulnerable members of our community, i.e., mentally ill homeless people. Now, all my life, I have loathed bullies. All my life, I have defended the weak from the strong. These people's lives were already problematic as it was, and suffering constant violent police harassment just made the problems worse for everyone involved. This was absolutely the last thing in the world that these people needed. So I was so profoundly outraged that I formed an organization called Citizens in Violation of Illegal Laws. Or civil.
It could be a spoonful of tea, but one little spoon of your precious love is good enough for me. And then lie about that spoonful. Some cry about that spoonful. Some lie about that spoonful. Everybody fight about a spoonful.
So civil then decided to first target the busking laws, since these were the most outrageous and unpopular of the many laws specifically designed to harass homeless people. Civil then organized the two busker parades, wherein we surrounded City Hall right before a council meeting with about 80 people playing illegal music to greet the arriving council members and express our contempt for their law. The city subsequently rescinded their busking laws, but our joy over this was somewhat dampened by the fact that they simultaneously passed an exponentially more problematic sit-by ordinance that basically makes it illegal to be homeless in Olympia. Thanks to sit-by, the homeless are now forced to hide from the police out in camps in the woods like animals. These camps tend to be very cold and very dark and very wet this time of year. Our city forces humans to live in conditions in which it is illegal to keep an animal.
We'll save you from another man.
Out in these camps, the predators are free to prey on the homeless kids with near impunity. And indeed, robberies, rapes, and even murders are regular occurrences. However, all of the privileged white liberals of Thurston County no longer need to be made uncomfortable, as in the bad old days when, after leaving their nice, safe, warm homes, they were forced to step over people sleeping on the downtown sidewalks. But now that the homeless are swept under the carpet, out of sight, out of mind, out in the woods, then evidently everything is now good as far as they're concerned. As for Dude Man, though, I'm afraid that things did not work out so well. Dude Man, in fact, recently committed suicide. So I've heard several city council members say that the city should not be tasked with solving the homelessness situation. I totally agree. However, I will task the city government with not making stupid, ignorant, classist laws that kill people. So, as for my personal involvement in this story, I became homeless back in 2008 after all of the profits from my mobile espresso stand went into the coffers of ExxonMobil. You may remember that that was the year when, due to Wall Street speculation, they began charging $4 per gallon for their gasoline. Then my espresso machine broke, and by that point I didn't have the $3,000 to fix it. And then my daughter's ex-boyfriend stole all of my equipment, along with a $1,500 generator that I had recently purchased to operate my stand. So, as a result of this chain of events, I became homeless in Olympia.
It could be a spoonful of sugar. It could be a spoonful of tea. But one little spoon of your precious love
me. Men lie about that spoonful. Some cry about that spoonful. Some die about that spoonful. Everybody fight about a spoonful. That spoon, that spoon, that spoonful. That spoon, that spoon, that spoonful. That spoon, that spoon.
Working in this hot sun, these old turpentine camps on this chain gang. Sure makes music sound awful pretty. Makes anything sound pretty out across that barbed wire fence yonder. Maybe I'll pass that guard and all them bloodhounds who's got the guard in here in this old chain gang. Go down to the camp and tell my brother Bill that woman that he's a messing with has got him on the ball and chain. Ball and chain.
Which way? Which way? That blood red, long river run. Parting from my back door to the robin gun. There's trouble here, trouble here, Bill. And trouble where I go. I ain't never had so much trouble, not in my life before.
My heart.
So I ended up vending a street paper out of Seattle called Real Change. Now, Real Change is a newspaper that focuses upon issues of low income and homeless people. Real Change wins prestigious journalistic awards on a regular basis, and they have several truly talented weekly columnists and contributors. Real Change educates people about the actual facts and issues concerning homelessness, rather than leaving people to the common stereotypes that are hyped in the media machine and that often have little, if anything, to do with reality. So selling the paper also provides an alternative to panhandling for people who have no income, but who would rather sell a quality product than to beg from strangers on some freeway ramp. Even though I would actually make much more money on the freeway ramp. So while Real Change isn't the complete solution for homelessness, it does work very well for people who are mentally capable of operating a small cash business. At the bottom line here is that I am one of several hundred people who are no longer homeless thanks to Real Change. It not only works, it works without costing the taxpayer a single dollar.
What did you tell him?
Open me, stick for a thing. For that blood river riding, big feet every day.
So I've been vending Real Change at the Olympia Food Co-op for 5 years now, but I recently moved from a rent-free caretaker situation into a rent-paying situation, which meant that I needed to sell a lot more papers every week. So especially since there is now another Real Change vendor also working at the co-op, I figured that location was pretty much saturated, and thus I needed an alternative spot for at least a couple of days per week.
Call that a woman I'm loving, sweet enough for me.
A man working out here on this old chain gang. Gonna do every kind of work in the world, the worst kind of weather in the world, looks like. Trying to pick a bale of cotton long in the early winter time. Wear out 3 or 4 pair of gloves every day, stripping on those stalks. putting everything in your cotton sack for sand, rocks, root stumps, anything in the way of them scales. So you pick a bale of cotton off the landing thing. Don't care how.
Hold on in. Hold on in. Hold on in.
So Top Foods, Safeway, and Fred Meyer all flatly refused before I gave up on the corporate chain stores. Thus, I approached Kevin Stormans, who is the owner of both the Thriftway and Bayview grocery stores, which are the only grocery stores located anywhere near downtown Olympia. Now, Kevin Stormans is also a right-wing political activist. He recently sued the state because he didn't want to be forced to sell the morning after pill in his stores. He is also a leading promoter of all the oppressive laws against the homeless, and he was a vocal proponent of the new sit-lie ordinance. So I explained Real Change to Mr. Stormans, and I asked permission to vend a Real Change for one day per week at each of his stores, and he refused. So being very familiar with the profound hypocrisy of right-wing ideologues, and left-wing ideologues too for that matter, this was exactly the answer that I had been expecting, and I was prepared. And I then conducted what is known as an ambush interview. I whipped out my Works in Progress press pass, and I informed Mr. Stormans that in that case, I was going to put on another hat and ask, as a journalist, why, after his endless expressed concerns about the problems associated with homelessness, that he would subsequently refuse to support a program that has been proven to be an effective method of ending homelessness that would cost him not a penny. His only reply was that this was his policy. This, of course, is the answer that you give when you don't have an answer. So I found that in judging people, little things, which often mean little in and of themselves, are often indicative of deeper insights. Ralph Stormans, the founder of Stormans Incorporated, could always be found in the store, and he knew all of his employees' names. His grandson, Kevin Stormans, is virtually never seen in the stores, and he knows virtually none of his employees' names. So everyone needs to follow their own conscience, but especially since Mr. Stormans spends his profits on such reprehensible things, and since I think that he sucks for not allowing me to vend Real Change at his stores, I think I'm going to avoid shopping at Bayview and Thriftway grocery stores from now on. And that's it for the news and commentary section this week. I've got some music now. This is from a tour Bela Fleck did of Africa, not in concert halls, but jamming with locals in their villages.
Oui, bien sûr.
Enjoy.
better making that up. I'm better making that up. I'm better making that up.
That was an African gentleman named Degary, who was jamming with Bela Fleck in Africa. That's it this week. Hope to see you next week. And in the meanwhile...
Thank you very much.